angels and looking for angels. And do you see that face in the plant over there? No, I'm sorry. People get crazy about, because in our heart there's a pursuit, amen? There's this longing to worship. We're all created to worship. That's how it's in our DNA. We are worshipers. So people are worshiping things that, you know, that they think are what they need to worship. They don't understand. If they don't understand who to worship, then they'll worship anything. So we worship angels. People worship demons. You know, people worship Satan himself because he's lied to some people and told them that he's greater than God or that God is dead. That's one of the first tenets, you know. And yet we know our God is alive. Amen? Are we not a witness of the resurrection in our own lives? We have that witness in us. That Christ is alive, amen, and He's alive in me. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. I've been born again. I've been changed. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. God is in me. He's a quickening spirit, life-giving spirit. You know, I don't care. You can, you know, theologically try to debate and try to out-argue and try to win the argument, and yet I don't need to argue with anybody because I know who I believe. Like Paul said, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul's life was for the service of the Lord. He knew his God. He knew his God was for him, and he knew his God was with him. And because he knew that, and he had that confidence in his God, he was willing to suffer. He was willing to do whatever God told him to do because he trusted in his God, that he was faithful, that he was in, that Paul was in the very palms of his hand. God has got his hand on you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in regret. You can walk free of all that junk. Just walk into the arms of Jesus as he tells you to come. Amen. Unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Cast all your cares on the one who loves you, who cares for you. Get it off. Don't walk around in a place of defeat, in a place of condemnation. Put your trust and your confidence in what Christ has done for you and His promises to you, and not in your ability to perform. So you're going to worship primarily four things. Number one is you worship what you love. Oh, I just worship the feet. I just worship her. I just worship him. I worship the ground upon which they walk. You know, you ever heard that one? Yeah. You got to go higher than the ground, by the way. A lot of people are worshiping dirt, amen? They make idols out of clay and it's dirt. But you worship what you love. It's all right, you know, we're supposed to have natural affection. We're supposed to love one another in the Lord, right? And so in the sense that we can celebrate the Lord in one another and the giftings that He's given to each one, that's a good thing, amen? We can celebrate the Lord together. But you don't worship people. You don't worship evangelists. You don't worship preachers. Amen. You don't worship the superstar Christians. And there are a lot of running around, you know. They've got all kinds of labels and names and trying to make a name for themselves. And they really subtly, they want people to worship them. But we're here to say this morning that Jesus is the one that's worthy of worship. Amen. Yes. He's the only one that's worthy of our worship. We worship Jehovah God, the Most High God. And we celebrate one another, and we celebrate the giftings of the body of Christ, but we don't worship people. When you worship people, people worship superstars. They worship, you know, rock stars. They worship celebrities, you know. American Idol. Everybody wants to be the idol. Isn't it ironic that we actually call it American Idol? And yet there's truth in that, folks, that sometimes we esteem, you know, someone who is gifted above the God who gave him the gift in the first place. We give more attention to that person than we do to God, who gives all things. Amen? Amen. All good gifts come from Him. So you got to get beyond the gift to the giver. You got to go beyond what God has blessed you with to give glory to Him who blessed you. It's all about God lavishing His grace on humanity. Perhaps that people will look beyond that and say, wow, I want to know this God who has been so good to me in my life. And some of you say, well, you don't know what my life's been like. People talk about the goodness of God. Do you know how rotten my life has been? Do you know how nasty things have been in my life? Do you know what happened to me when I was a kid? Blah, blah, blah. We can all come up with something, okay, that the enemy will very freely offer to you to remember and say, remember that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And remember that? Oh, yeah. Before long, you're like, oh, my life is a mess. Why? Because all you're thinking about is what's broken and what's wrong. You need to get your eyes off the junk, off the trash, off yesterday, and get them on Jesus. Amen? Because He's good all the time. If you're dwelling on the wrong thoughts, you know, you're going to, you know, thoughts are you know, can attract either good things or bad things. How many know your thoughts are like that? Stinking thinking. How many have heard that expression? You know, it's true. If you have stinking thinking, well, flies are attracted to stinky things. Shall I go into that any further? Or? Right. So if your thoughts are stinky, guess what? You're going to attract demons. You're going to attract the flies. As a matter of fact, one of the names of Satan is Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. And so we don't want to be putting our mind on those types of things. We want to be thinking on the Lord, on His goodness, on the loveliness, amen, of the things that are pure, of virtue, of good report, amen. If you're sitting around hanging out with people that are just constantly negative and criticizing, putting this down and slamming that person, get away from them, because that stinking thinking is attracting junk into your life too. Amen. If they're not willing to be corrected, I would recommend you get away from them. Don't hang out with people like that. Because, you know, it's very true that you can become who you hang out with. You can be influenced. One of them. We pray for them, you know. We bless them. But we don't hang out with people if they have an unrepentant heart. In other words, they want to persist in rebellion to God, folks. You got to be careful, all right? Jesus hung out with people only for the purpose of reaching them, amen? Of speaking into their lives. And there were those who loved Jesus and there were those who hated Jesus. But there weren't any people in the middle. And if you and I are really living for God, people will love you and people will hate you. But there's not going to be too many that are going to be in the middle saying, well, I'm not really sure if I love them or hate them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Jesus was a strong person. Jesus stood up, amen, for the truth. And because of that, people loved Him and they felt safe around Him. But other people hated Him because He was exposing them by the things that He said. Now, Jesus only said what the Father told Him to say. But He got persecuted for speaking the truth in love. So even though you speak the truth to somebody, they're not always going to appreciate it. They're not going to love you for that. I know you haven't discovered that yet, but that's why we got to listen to God, right? And when He's telling us, speak to this person, or He's saying, don't waste it, amen? Don't throw your pearl before swine. There's a time, folks, when it's not appropriate to talk to people. There's certain people that are not in a place where, you know, they're going to be receptive to the precious seed of the Word of God. Are you with me? So you got to be able to discern that. If they're throwing it back at you, just say, okay, on my way. I'm not going to pick up your offense. I'm not going to let that discouragement get on me. That's what He's saying. It's just don't let the past be the past. Dust it off and just go on. Amen. Say, have a nice day, but on your way you go. So you love things and you worship what you love. Obviously, we worship God because what? We have to. That's not true worship. Are you with me, right? True worship is not because I have to. Worship is something that comes right out of your heart. It's something that is within you that is making the connection. When God blesses you, when God touches you, when you reflect on His goodness, when you remember His mercies, when you remember how good God has been to you, it starts to produce in you a heart of gratitude. It starts to produce gratitude. Gratitude is, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I may be having a bad day, but I can always remember the goodness of the Lord, and I can change my thinking, and I can start to get to a place where, oh yeah, I remember what God did for me. Remember all the things the Lord has done for me. I may not be seeing much right now, but I'm going to remember the faithfulness of the Lord. And it starts to produce gratitude in the heart. And then when you start to get into a place of being thankful, thanksgiving, amen, produces praise. Genuine praise flows out of a heart of gratitude. It's not forced. It's not mechanical. It's not like somebody goes, hallelujah. Has anybody seen me? Am I on TV? No, it's out of the heart that we worship. And it's because God gives you glory, you can give Him glory. God blesses you, then you can bless Him. Because you can't give God something you don't have first. Whatever we have, amen, God gives to us first, and then we can offer back. If it's money, whether it's your time, it's your resources, your body itself is to be an offering to God, right? So we give out of that which God has given to us. So when we reflect on the goodness of the Lord, we're remembering His faithfulness, and then as we begin out of a heart of gratitude to say thank you, it produces praise. When God does something for you, how many have said, wow, thank you, praise the Lord? That was not mechanical, right? That was real. That came right out of your heart. That's genuine praise. So it starts with the mind and my attitudes in my mind and what I'm dwelling on, thinking on. You know, if you got to change stations, right? You got to get on the God station. Amen. Get into tuned into heaven here.
Yes.
People, you worship what you love. You also worship what you fear. You worship what you fear. Come on. The bully on the playground. In a sense, he's getting allegiance, he's getting worship from the people that he bullies. Give me your lunch money. Give me your lunch bag. Whatever. Do this or I'm going to beat you up. What do you do? People will worship somebody that they fear. Women give themselves to men because the men intimidate them. They give themselves up. Amen? It happens. Once in a while, it happens the other way too. But God says, fear no man. Fear God. You don't fear man when you're full of the love of God. Are you with me? It's by the love of God that we can have supernatural boldness and a fearlessness that you know, even though you may initially have times of fear, we all do, you don't allow fear to paralyze you. What you do is you gain mastery over that. Fear will be my servant. It will not be my master. In other words, your fear sometimes can be productive fear. Sometimes if you can channel that energy that you put into fear into something positive, it can be good. I'll think about that for a while. Yeah. So you worship what you fear. People fear the devil. You know? So they worship the devil. It is. It's a form of fear. They're looking for something greater than themselves. We all have that in us to worship, right? So we're looking for something or someone bigger than us. Some people call them the higher power. Well, the higher power has a name. Amen? His name is Jesus. His name is Jehovah. He's the Most High God. And He gave us His name for a reason. Because when people talk about God, they're talking about all kinds of different gods. One man's God is not another man's God. But my God is Jehovah God, the Most High God. Amen?
Amen.
And His Son, Jesus Christ. And we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So you worship what you fear, and then you worship what you value. What do you value? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So again, back to the beginning, there are people who worship their boat. You know, they have a love affair with their boat or their fishing, and that takes priority over anything else. It takes priority over their family. Some guys are that way, you know. Their families suffer because they're just spending all their time with their love or the boat. I repent. No. I don't have a boat, actually. Or their hobbies. Huh? Guys, we can get caught up in whether it's working on the car or whatever, hobbies. Things that, you know, it can hurt, it can influence the family, but most importantly, there are things that can be good things in our lives that are not sinful things in and of themselves that can become sin to us because they become idols. It begins to shift away from something that we enjoy doing on occasion as recreation to become the God of recreation. I remember years ago seeing a bumper sticker, the spirit of recreation. Yeah. Spirit of recreation. People are worshiping. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the ironic thing is this, and this is what I've come to know, is that all the things that I was searching for in the world that had to do with pleasure pale in comparison to the pleasure of the Lord. So when it says to love pleasure more than God, it's saying you're basically, it's idolatry. You're worshiping lesser things in place of God. Our greatest joy is Him who is our exceeding great reward. Amen? He's our exceeding joy. The greatest pleasure you can know is the pleasures of His presence. The greatest joy you can know is the Lord. Amen? Who is our joy. The greatest fulfillment comes from Him who created all things and gave us all things richly to enjoy. In other words, it's not that stuff is evil or wrong or even recreation is wrong. The problem is that we have shifted away from our walk with Christ to lesser things and we become worshipers of these things. And in America especially, you know, we have become so choked through the riches and cares of this life. We're so busy. We've got so much distraction. Well, God has taken that away, folks, because He loves America. He loves His people. Amen? He loves people. And He knows that it will only lead people to destruction. The enemy can give you good stuff too, by the way. And he gives you good things to distract you away from God. Folks, I don't know how many times I've seen this where the grass is greener on the other side. God is doing a work in somebody's life. I've seen it where people have been coming to this church. God was really moving in their life, doing a work in their life. And the enemy comes up and says, hey, over there the grass is greener. And he comes with nice things. And it may not even be an evil thing, but it's a nice thing, but it's a distraction away from their assignment or where God has called them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And we're prone to that. Oh, yeah, maybe. I heard I think it was Charles Stanley years ago said something to the effect that, yeah, to the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but to the guy who just left, it's brown. You know? And that is true, isn't it? Because we can chase after wind and sand. We can chase after temporary things. We can be pleasure seekers in the sense that we're just looking for the next great thrill. And if times get tough, if I start to have to undergo some trials because God wants to equip me and strengthen me and position me for greatness in the kingdom, then, well, I don't want to deal with those types of issues. I don't want to have to deal with people. I don't want to have to forgive people. Oh, things are starting to happen right now. I think I'm just going to go over here where everything is going really smoothly right now. Well, guess what? You just walked away from your assignment, and God says, well, you're just going to have to repeat it over there now. Because He's not going to let you alone until you learn the lessons you need to learn. The question is, did God reassign me? Did God tell me to leave? We don't ask that. I don't like what goes on. I'm out of here. Come on. We don't ask God, is it okay, Lord? Because we make emotional decisions. I was mad at the time. Nobody's ever done that before. Made a mistake when you were mad. But no. Said something you regretted later? No. Okay. How many know it's not wise to make emotional decisions? Sometimes you got to wait, settle down first before you respond to a comment even. Because in the heat of the moment, you're going to open up your mouth and insert your foot and wish you hadn't done that. Wish you hadn't said that. It's good sometimes just take a little time, walk away. But you will worship what you value. If you value the Lord above all things, He will be your God. Amen? If you find Him to be your exceeding great reward, your treasure, amen? Matchless treasure. If you find that, your heart is where He is, see? And then you will find that the lesser things don't satisfy you anymore. How many are finding out lesser things don't satisfy you anymore? How many have tried to like enjoy this world as a believer and only find out, man, this doesn't have the same spark it used to. It just doesn't seem to satisfy anymore. Well, that's a good thing. Because God is weaning you off lesser things because He wants to give you greater things. He wants to advance you. He wants to promote you. He wants to raise you up. He wants to get you into a position where He can bless you so you will be a greater blessing. How many want to be a blessing? We've got to go with His program. We can't just go by what feels good. How many know it's not always a feel-good thing when you're growing? You go through growing pains, right? So it is in the Spirit. And so you will also worship what you trust. Do we trust the Lord with all our heart? You see, often we'll be tested. It may be financial testing at times. We're tested financially. Oh, God, how are we going to make the bills? Quick, grab the plastic. Or, there's times when maybe that's the way to go. However, how many have regretted using the plastic a little bit too freely before? Oh, God, what are we going to do? You know? Well, what you need to do is, like the song said, you need to lean back in His arms, just relax and let go, and say, okay, God, take a deep breath. I know there's a purpose for this. This is only a test. Beep. It's only a test. What do I do? Instead of, oh, what do I do? In the panic. We go into panic mode. You're going to make a mistake. You don't operate out of stress. You operate out of rest. Right? You're either going to operate out of rest or you're going to operate out of stress. And when you're operating in stress, you're making mistakes. So we need to learn how to relax and go into that place of intimacy with the Lord where we can find His supernatural peace that will guard our hearts and our minds. And then we can start to think clearly and hear His voice. Sometimes, folks, there's things that hit me and I start to get a little bit panicky and I'm like, and the Holy Spirit's there. He'll remind you. He'll say, hey, what are you doing? Just let it go. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. Just let it go. Come on. Have you heard that? You've been in a counselor. He said, just let it go. You got to let it go. Give it to God. Cast all your cares on Him. Say, okay, Lord, this is bigger than me, but I know that I'm going to learn something as a result of this test. Because what happens after you pass a test? Amen? You get promoted, right? You go to the next level, right? It's all for a purpose. It's the testing of your faith. It's all good. So we don't always like it, but it's all good. It will work together for your good. Wow. You know what? I'm only on the first or the second sentence of 5 pages here. So, is anybody getting hungry yet or for natural food? Well, let's see. Well, Dave says it's all good, so it's all good.
That's right.
We're going for it. Thank you, brother. I like him because he tells me what I like to hear. So. Dave's his own man, though. That I'm just joking. He's definitely his own guy. He's a leader. But you know what? I have found no greater joy, no greater pleasure, no greater fulfillment than in worshiping Him. You know, this morning we came together. I look forward to this. Do you look forward to this?
Yes.
Coming together, God's people, to worship the Lord and just to experience the joy of His presence, the goodness of the Lord, and find that, you know what? My problems aren't so big when I'm in the God zone. As a matter of fact, you don't even see them most of the time there. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, what am I going to do? Just go to Jesus. Pour out your heart to Jesus. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just start walking around sometimes. I'm a prayer walker. I like to walk and I just pray, Jesus, hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, I just want to honor you. Lord, I just, hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, your peace is on. And just reflect on the Lord and begin to worship Him. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, moving into heaven's place and into the God zone. And then you're operating in a place of rest. Now I can make smart choices and decisions. And I can hear clearly from the Lord because I'm not operating in a panic mode. You know what? God's not going to be in the anxiety thing, folks. He's not going to be in that realm. If you get panicky and you start making decisions rashly, and you're not waiting on God and listening for His voice, the Lord is there, but He's waiting for you to settle down. How many have ever had your child throw a temper tantrum? Yeah? Maybe in the store or something, and hey, jumping up and down, and now, Johnny, stop that. I've heard people, they're trying to reason with their kid, after about the fifth time he's not listening. I'm like, can I take him out back and square him away for you? Or I'm just gonna... Oh, I can't believe he said that. There's a difference between spanking and discipline and abuse, right? We got to know the difference. All right. But your kid throws a temper tantrum. You know what? Most of the time, when they're up in that frenzy and that thing is going on, you can't talk to them. You're not getting... And once in a while, you might get a word in there like, okay, and then they'll go, oh. But God's a good God, a good Father, and He doesn't bow down to that stuff, folks. Amen? If you're going to start acting up like that, He's going to wait until you're all done. You got it all out. And He says, now are you ready to listen to me now? Isn't it true? When you settle down, now you can hear. Get into rest. Worship brings you into rest. Hallelujah. I can't help it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Shavokuma. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord. I wasn't kidding. Okay. I promise this won't be too painful, all right? Turn your Bibles this morning. That was a long introduction. Acts chapter 17. And I'm going to cut to the chase here, and I've got a few thoughts I want to share with you, and then we'll go. Help me, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I want to just share from this because this is something that the Lord impressed upon me recently. And I was reminded, and it also has to do with the fact that this is really, this really has to do with what the type of assignment that God is calling me, the temporary assignment that I'm getting called into. But we're going to go to a place where there are thousands and thousands of gods. People worship all kinds of things. They worship objects and places and people and demons. And how many know, folks, that if you worship even an idol or an object, behind that object is actually a demon too? And that's why they've realized that there's actually some power in worshiping these objects that they created. Because the devil will step up and say, I'm here. You've got your eyes off God. I'll be your God for you. At least for a little while until I get you into the place where I can really mess your life up. Because you know what? The devil actually does good things for people. Initially. That's how he baits it. He does good things for you. He makes you feel good. He can bless people financially. There are people that literally sell their soul to Satan. He'll give them good things. Only for a season. But the payment is so much higher than what you got out of it. I mean, what you have to pay back, folks, is your eternal soul. Not only that, but in this world, He will get you into a place where He will begin to torment you. How many know what I'm talking about? He will torment you. But at first, He'll make you think that you are in control, that you have power. And so He'll just play the game to draw you deeper in. So He can assign bigger demons into your life so that before long, what started out is, a few little incantations and a few moving objects, and isn't that cute? The Ouija board moved on me, and it spoke to me to the fact that the place where you're being chased around the house by these things. Come on. One door opens another, and He hates you, and He's not going to do good for you. So God has got something much better for you. So here Paul is in Athens, and in verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." In other words, these people were worshipers. How many know everybody's a worshiper, right? "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth." Now, think about that. Red and yellow, black and white. Guess what? If you go back far enough, you're going to strike the same set of parents. And there's another whole teaching about that, how the races came about. But we're all from the same blood. We're all from the same parents. It's what it says right here, and he's reiterating this. "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Isn't that interesting? That people thought, well, I'm just going to pack up and I'm going to move over here. God has actually orchestrated events in history. God raises up kings, he brings kings down. He raises up kingdoms, he brings kingdoms down. Amen? He moves even whole people groups from one location to the other. There have been mass exoduses. Amen? There have been situations, war at times has relocated people. But it has to do with the purposes of God often. Or if it's something Satan has done, God will work it for their good. God knows how to turn everything around so that in the end the devil loses. "And so that they should seek the Lord," this is the purpose, "in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. We also, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Now there were Epicureans and there were Stoics and there was these other philosophers of that day. One was like an extreme liberal slant, if you will. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. We have that. Amen. It's extreme liberal. Everything goes, everything for pleasure. And on the other side, the Stoics were more almost like pleasure is an evil thing. And sometimes that Stoic spirit gets into the church and robs her of her joy, where people can't have pleasure in church because it's sinful for some reason, they think it is. God is the God that gave us these emotions, folks, that we can experience pleasure. How many know that He made us? Yes. Amen? And He didn't make a mistake. He made us with emotions. Emotions can be good things. "And so therefore," verse 29, "since we are his offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone." He's talking about idolatry. "Something shaped by art and man's devising." Now, Paul was not on an art tour, amen, when he went there. Come on, there's people that go around and say, "Oh, isn't that fascinating? We're looking at all the idols and stuff." You know what? They were repulsive to Paul because he knew that they were pulling people away from Christ. They were not cute. I mean, you know that these little idols that people have, they bring little Buddhas home. They bring these idols and they put them in their house. That's kind of cute, or it's a keepsake from the country I visited. And what they don't realize is that they've just brought trouble into their home. Because with those idols, there are demons that attach themselves to those things because they are associated with another god. It's a false god. And so if you have that kind of stuff in your house, get rid of it. Burn it. Don't give it away. Don't sell it. Don't turn it into the local thrift store. Get rid of it. Amen? It's not good. I've been into people's homes before that they've had these types of things and they were bringing all kinds of demonic activity into their home. And the first thing we'll pray is, "Lord, show us if there's anything in this house." You know, people that are working in witchcraft are often very crafty in the sense that they are artsy and crafty people. And they will make things, and yet there's a connection, a spiritual connection to that thing. And they release it. When people buy that, they take it into their home, and all of a sudden, they're having problems. The children are having nightmares. They can't sleep at night. What's going on with this? Why? And it takes sometimes a revelation of the Holy Spirit to show and say, Lord, show me if there's something here that I need to deal with, I need to get rid of. There's ignorance. Sometimes just in our ignorance, folks, it's not that we were willingly doing this. We just didn't know any better. But God is gracious. If you pray, He'll show you. Amen? If you're having a lot of problems in your life, folks, and it doesn't seem to be any, doesn't seem to be a test, then you need to ask God, Lord, is there something in my heart? Is there an idol in me? Am I setting something up in my mind, in my imagination, that's taking your place? Let me suggest to you folks that even as Jesus had said, that we should love Him more than even our own family. Even more our own children. How many times have people put their family members before God? Well, I'm not going to go and worship with God's people today because so-and-so doesn't like it. Come on. There comes a time you have to make a decision. Who are you going to obey? If the Holy Spirit says do it, there's a higher law. Now, the Lord is not a contentious God in the sense that, you know, He's a wise God and He'll give you wise counsel if you seek Him, if you ask Him for it. He will show you what to do. There's not a black and white answer for everything. Amen? But we have the Scriptures so we can be wise. Truly, these times of ignorance, verse 30, God overlooked. Isn't it interesting that prior to the time of Moses, you know, mankind just did his own thing pretty much. There's always been a remnant throughout history, just a few. But mankind, for the most part, was into human sacrifice and blood, all kinds of blood rituals, and just whatever they think is their way of connecting with a higher power, or this deity that they call God. Because people don't know who God is, they go about doing their own thing. Are you with me? You kind of come up with your own God, your own concept of God. Well, to me, God is like this. You know, God is like that. I want my God to fit on a shelf and look like that, you know? I mean, literally, that's what it becomes. You fashion a God after your own imagination and call Him God. That's God, you know? Well, my, you know, God might be a nice hot car, you know? And come on, it happens. People are more concerned about, well, I got to stay home because I got to wax my car. You know, then to connect with God's people and do the thing that God calls them. It's not all about church's call. Let's talk about your heart first. Let's talk about your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is where it should be, you will know in your heart that I am to be together with God's people. I am supposed to be in church. I'm supposed to be in fellowship. That's what the Holy Spirit says, folks. You may have a little different assignment in life where God may call you to do something else on Sunday. If God calls you to do that, that's what you do. You obey Him. Are you with me? I'm not talking about legalism here, but I am saying that these people who think that, oh, I don't need fellowship. I'll have, just me and Jesus will have church at home. You know, between me and the boob tube. Or I need to stay home so we can have quality family time, interpretation. We want to watch our favorite show. That's more important than coming and worshiping God with God's people. Are you with me? These are idols in the heart. And so sometimes there's things in our hearts that we have set up as idols that we have prioritized above God. Hello? And as a matter, and because of that, we have stopped the flow of God's grace into our hearts. Sometimes the reason why people are dried up spiritually is because of idols. Because of other things that have choked out the Spirit of God and have not allowed God to come in, because He will never force Himself on you. He will come by invitation, and the invitation is, Lord, I prepared a way for You. Prepare the way of the Lord. I've made the path straight. The crooked places have become straightened. Amen? I've removed the stones. I've gotten rid of the things You told me to get rid of in my life. So now, there's nothing between us, Lord. There's an open highway for You to pour Your glory into my life, to fill me with Your presence. Your goodness can overflow me. Amen? And I will be a blessing because I've been positioned to be blessed. So it's about cooperating with God. Many people worship many different things. We worship the one true God. We need to examine ourselves. When John finished his book, as 1 John, the end of the book, he says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." That's how he finished it. Keep yourselves from idols. He's talking to believers, to the church. Because it will choke off the life of God. Not only from getting in, but flowing out as well. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. One more time, how many realize repentance isn't just saying I'm sorry? It's more than just saying I'm sorry. Repentance means that I agree with you, Lord, that you're right and I'm wrong. I need to do a 180-degree turn. I was going in the wrong direction. I'm turning back to you now, Lord. I agree that your word is good, that your counsel is wise, and I'm coming into agreement with what you say because I don't want anything to get in the way of my relationship with you. And when you get into position by agreeing with God, that's repenting, changing your mind about how you live and about what you're doing, now you're making a way for God to come in. Are you with me? Amen? How many discovered that to be true? The Bible says that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Are we being obedient? In other words, all up until this time, folks, until the cross, God had a remnant. God raised up Moses. Moses was given the law. Amen? The law is good in the sense that it keeps people from killing each other. Thou shalt not kill, right? The laws of God are good. They were put in there as a temporary restraint. Amen. Israel was chosen by God to represent Him in the earth at that time. If people were to look at Israel and say, now that's what their God is like. By the way, the people live. They live according to His rules, according to His laws. And the laws of God are perfect. They're good. However, in our humanity, we're not capable of living up to God's rules completely without failure. At least sometime. And so therefore, God had already ordained from the very beginning that the time would come when He would become a man in the Son. Amen? And Jesus would become a man. The Word of God became the Son of Man. Amen? And then as a result, He took the curse. Amen? So that we could receive the blessing. He paid the price for sin. Amen? So that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a clean heart, and so that we could be renewed in the Holy Spirit. So then He could come and inhabit us. But even as believers, folks, you can shut off the grace of God in your life if you don't agree with God that His counsel is good. If you want to come to the Word of God and say, I like this, but I don't like that. I'll do that, God, but I'm not doing that. Folks, whenever you do that, you're shutting off the flow of God's blessing into your life. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting others. And most importantly, you're hurting God when you do that. Because He loves you that much. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. But when you want to be blessed, you'll do whatever it takes. Are you with me? To get blessed. God, whatever it is I got to do. Today, are you willing to say that? Just to God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'm ready, Lord. Show me what I need to correct. Show me what I need to get out of the way. Amen? Sometimes that means you've got to stop doing some certain things in your life. And once you say, I'm done. I'm through. I made up my mind. I've repented, see? Repentance means to change your mind. I change my mind. I'm agreeing with God's word. I'm agreeing with the counsel of God that it's good. And now I've opened a way for His grace to come in and set me free from addiction. Yeah. It's when you're serious, when you mean business, God sees the heart. Isn't it true? You found that to be true, haven't you? When you were playing the game with God and making bargains, saying, well, God, you get me out of this. I'll do this for you and that. With really deep down inside you saying, just get me out of this, God, so I can, you know. Yeah, and then I'm going to go back to business as usual. I've seen so many people, they come to God, they're desperate, they're praying, pouring out their heart, and then all of a sudden they just quit. You know, God blesses them, they got what they wanted, and where are they now? See, God gives you good things because He wants you to love Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to come to Him. He doesn't want to just be constantly just giving you stuff. How many want your kids just to always come to you for stuff and things and begging for stuff? And then when you give it to them, they don't seem to appreciate it. And they forget you who gave it to them. A spoiled kid is that way, isn't it? They expect it. They just expect it. Oh no. Our Father's much wiser than that. And so, this is the deal, folks. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. This is the message. The message is repentance. God is calling you and I to repentance, the church. Amen? It begins with us. But He's also sending us out to the nations to preach the message of repentance, to prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight, a highway for our God. Amen? So that there will be an entrance of the King. We are forerunners of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He is coming again. And He's coming in an hour when you think not. It's time to get ready. It's time to be ready, because He comes at the midnight hour. And people are casting off restraints. Many of God's people have gone to sleep. It's time for the church to wake up, cast off the slumber. Amen? That means to make a way for God to come in, to fill their life with His power, to inspire their zeal again. Get on fire for Jesus. Amen? Get busy for Jesus. Be about His business, because He's coming. And He's coming for those who are looking for Him. He's coming for those who have prepared themselves. Hello? We're not going to be of those who begin to eat and drink and beat the men servants and the maid servants. In other words, to just run amok, thinking, well, He has delayed His return. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? How many know there is a great falling away? This is not a time for us to slumber. This is a time for us to wake. It's a time for us to pray. It's a time for us to rise up. Because He has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world through that man He has ordained. Who is that? That's Jesus. And He's given assurance to all because He has raised Him from the dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is coming again, folks. It's time to get ready. Amen? To make a way for God. Get rid of the idols. Get rid of the junk. Make a way for Him so He can come in, fill your life, amen, with His goodness, so you can enjoy abundant life, because that's what He wants to give you. He wants you to have life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to live in lesser things. He wants you to receive the greater things. He wants you to live for eternity. How many are willing to do that? Say, God, whatever it takes. Hallelujah.